So let's take your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. The title is, Will You Risk It All? Will you risk it all? Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. If you don't have your Bibles, the words will be on the screen. Paul writes, starting in verse 19, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served me, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Let's pray. Father, we come before your word today. Lord, may we tremble at it. May we honor it in our hearts and our minds so much that we'll put our full attention upon the word that you have for us. God, that you will help our minds not to wander from the path. That you will help us to focus intently on the reading and the preaching of your word. And may your Holy Spirit do the work that only you can do by opening up our hearts to show us beautiful things in your word. We are 1,000% reliant upon you, God. In this moment, in Jesus' name, amen. The past 2 weeks in Philippians, we looked at Paul saying that we are to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. And in that, we looked at how important it was, if we want to do that, to look to the cross. And I said to you, I said, there's been nothing more effective for helping me to fight sin in my life than to look for a long time and to look consistently at the cross and what Christ has done there. Last week, we talked about shining as lights in a crooked and twisted generation. And that's the call to the Christian. That's the call to the young person in their schools, on their basketball teams, on their baseball teams, in the band room, in whatever group that you're a part of, it's to shine as a light in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. That's the call to you at your work. That's the call to you when you're with your families. When you're just at the grocery store, it's to shine as a light in the world. So we've looked at those two things, and then we come to this text, verses 19 through 30. And I'm just going to say, God's Word is amazing. You know that for the most part, I preach through books of the Bible, right? And there's a reason I do that, and it's a discipline, and it does take a lot of work. And it takes a lot of getting outside of your comfort zone, because in all honesty, if I were being honest, I would tell you I would not have chosen this text to preach from. I would have said, well, we should just go to something that's got a little more to it, right? Something talking about, you know, for God so loved the world, or for me to live is Christ and for me to die is gain. Or some text like that, right? But when you preach through books, you're forced to face everything in the book. And as I read it at the beginning of the week, and even a week before that, I thought, how am I going to preach this section where Paul's simply saying, I want to send Timothy to you. I want to send Epaphroditus to you. And I want to come too. And I'm anxious. I began to think, how am I going to preach that to a group of people that want to be challenged? They want to be taught. They want to be entertained, sadly. Too often we come to church to be entertained. It's just Paul telling the church what he's wanting to do. And about Timothy and about Epaphroditus. But then I begin to see there's so much more here. As is always the case with God's Word. Never just run past Scripture, stop, and think on it. And if that's one thing I've learned as a pastor that preaches expositionally, is if you stop and you begin to meditate on the Word of God, there will be more there than you ever thought imaginable. That you begin to dig and you begin to find more and more. I heard one pastor say, if you rake across the Word of God, you'll just get leaves. But if you dig, you'll find precious stones. And I think that's what we're going to have here. So let's dig into this. An overview of the section is simply, Paul is sharing his intentions regarding two of his fellow workers in the gospel, Timothy and Epaphroditus, and how they had sacrificed in their service to him and to Christ. And we see a great love between Paul and these two men, and a great concern regarding the people of the local church in Philadelphia, in Philippi. So I've got 2 points today. The first is, we see that they serve as examples of Paul's instructions. And secondly, we'll ask the question, how far are you willing to go? The first point is, we see examples of Paul's instructions. Now before we look at these two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, I want to point you back or forward to Hebrews chapter 11 and Hebrews chapter 12. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, the author writes for the whole chapter concerning great men of faith that have went before us, that have sacrificed, great men and women of faith that sacrificed everything for the cause of God in the world. And when he ends chapter 11 and gets to chapter 12, he says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, these men and women that have went before us, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now I share this to just set the stage for how I think Timothy and Epaphroditus lived their life. They lived their life knowing that they were surrounded by a cloud of witnesses that had gone before and had done the work and sacrificed everything for God's cause in the world. And the writer of Hebrews would mention some of them. He would start with Abel and talk about Abraham and Joseph and Moses and Rahab and Samuel and all the prophets and the great men and women of God that did so much. He would say of them in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 37 and 38, that they were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins and sheep and of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. Then here in Philippians, we see another great man of faith. Paul the Apostle, under arrest, in chains, for the sake of the gospel. And this great man mentions two more great men of faith, partners with him in the gospel. And their example is an example for us in how we ought to live our lives. You see, this section is not just an aside in the book of Philippians. It's a core part of the whole book and holds it together. So the question is, how far do we go to support those who are working hard to spread the gospel? How far do we go to sacrifice ourselves for the benefit of the local church body, here and in other places? See, these men, they set a high bar. They set a high bar. While many people worry about the color of the carpet, or whether the preacher shook their hand, or talked to them enough, or likes them or not, these men are laying it down. These men are caring about the work that needs to be done. They don't have time to worry about trivial things. These men care. They laid aside their own needs for the sake of Christ and for the sake of others. They didn't just go to church to consume. They weren't just consumers to hear preaching and to hear music, to ask if the church had enough ministries to meet their needs. They sold out for the gospel to meet the needs of the peoples of the church. They had a completely different mindset. They sold out for the gospel to spread. They sold out so that their churches would grow in Christ. Let's look at them. We see Timothy here in verses 20 through 22. Paul says, "I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel." So he sets forth to them the example of Timothy, a man that he said was genuinely concerned for their welfare. He had traveled with Paul. He had served with Paul. He wasn't concerned for himself. He was concerned for the church. He said of him also that he didn't seek his own interest like others did. He sought after the interest of Christ. And that it was so obvious that it was like he was a son to Paul. That he served as a son that wants to be with his father. That says, "Yes, sir, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to go about the business that we have to do?" Then he spoke of Epaphroditus. In verses 25 through 27 and verse 30, he said, "I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death." And in verse 30 it says, "For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me." Paul spoke in such terms to speak of him as a fellow worker, and not just a fellow worker, but a fellow soldier. Now, if you've worked, especially if you've worked in some tough conditions, and you've got a band of brothers or sisters with you, well, you're there in the trenches with them, or if you've ever served in the military, and you've got those men that are with you, those are men, women that you rely on with your life. And you're there in the trenches with them. And this is what Epaphroditus was for Paul. He had been sent by the church in Philippi to serve Paul, to help Paul. Really, he says to make up what was lacking in their service to Paul. And so he puts himself, instead of saying, okay, church, let's just send some money. He says, you know what? No, I'll go with him. I'm not just going to send money. I'm going to go with him and serve the man. I'm going to help him. And you notice, he went so far as to risk his life for the sake of the gospel. He put his life in danger. Oh my goodness. We won't do that. We don't. Let's be honest, church. We care too much about our lives, don't we? Well, that's dangerous. Well, this might happen. That might happen. Those thoughts were foreign to the men and women of God in the Bible. They didn't care. They didn't think like that. They didn't think in terms of excuses. They thought in terms of Christ laid down his life for me, and I'll lay down my life for Christ. That's the Christian call. When you come to get saved, it's not so your family will be happy with you. Okay? It's not so you can like vote in our church or whatever, you know, or get baptized or oh my goodness, finally I get to drink that juice. Go to the store and buy some grape juice for your kids. We give our lives for Christ because He gave it all for us and because we have no other hope. These men got it. Now, notice what Paul's doing here. Notice how these two men's lives parallel what Paul has been instructing the church to do already. Now, I could go back and read all the way from the beginning of chapter 1, all the way here and show you many, many things. I'm just going to take two sections. The first is, well, just a few verses, three verses. It's Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Notice, he's encouraging the church in Philippi. He says, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or I'm absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. What were Timothy and Epaphroditus doing? They were side by side with Paul, striving for the gospel. Again, in chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. So Paul writes these things, and then he says, here, let me show you two men that do exactly what I'm telling you you ought to do. Here are two examples. It was easy for Paul to write these instructions because he lived around these two men that did the exact thing that he was teaching the church to do. They were examples of this behavior. It's very interesting what Paul is doing. He instructs the church on how to live a life worthy of the gospel. Then he stops and he gives them two living, breathing examples. You talk about, you know, it's like a show and tell, right? It's like the perfect way to do this. So when they are hearing what to do, they're thinking of the men that are doing it. Are you those men and women that when the Bible is read, someone says, that's Joe. That's Sheila. I'm just picking names, okay? Are you that person? You know, Paul instructs the church in regards to men like this, and he says, receive them with joy and honor these men. Ministers of the gospel, for the most part, they are not in it for themselves. They answer the call. When they hear the gospel and begin to follow Jesus, I can promise you they had other dreams. They wanted to do other things. They had other plans and other vision for their life. But when they hear God say, "Who can I send? And who will go for us?" They say, "Here am I, send me." This is the attitude that all Christians should have. They lay aside their dreams and their kingdoms for the sake of the gospel call. This is why I honor Dr. Cyril from India the way that I do. I consider him to be a man very much like the Apostle Paul. I support the work he's doing because I know ministry can be a lonely and difficult work. I see the man laying down what he could have become. He's practically a genius. He's laying down what he could have become. He's laying down the things he could have sought in this world, the things that this world applauds for the sake of the gospel. It's one of my main reasons for going to India. I see a man that loves his people and I want to serve him. I want to honor him. I want to be a part of what God's doing. I think it's so appropriate that this man from the Gideons has come. In his retirement years, you are retired, I assume, semi, living out the later part of his life serving God with the Gideons. We honor men like this. And I would say, may we live up to being spoken of in this manner. Now the final point, well, let me say this one more thing. In the same way that church members form opinions of ministers, and they can tell usually those that are in it for themselves and those that are in it for God. And they've got all kinds of opinions, right, about the preacher. And they do. But did you know we form opinions about you guys too? We do. We know who we can count on. We know who's in it for the sake of the gospel and who's in it just to sit in it. We know who's about it and who's not about it. You want to be those that are about the work of Christ, not about the work of yourself. All right, that was free. All right? I love y'all. Y'all are amazing. But maybe somebody in here needed to hear it. The last point that I have today is, how far are you willing to go? Now, there's a lot of other things in the text today that I could have gotten to, but my time is limited. We'll just end with that question. As a Christian, how far are you willing to go in your service for Christ? Timothy was genuinely concerned with others more than himself. And Epaphroditus actually risked his life to serve Paul in the advancing of the gospel, because they knew what Jesus had said. Jesus had given us the battle cry for our Christian walk. This is what he said in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 35. "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake in the Gospels will save it." You see what Jesus is saying is being very clear. This is not just a bumper sticker. It's a life-altering mindset that he has. Do we see this in our churches today? This call to lay down the life so that you may pick it up and find that you saved it. What do we see in the church today? I do not say let's look outside the church, because as Paul says, what do we have to do with judging outsiders? And they're lost and they're in darkness. They're not going to live for Jesus, you realize, until you share the gospel with them. What do we see in our homes? Do we see people willing to set aside time every day to spend with Jesus? Do we see people, men, women, and children, taking the time and energy to memorize the Word of God? Or do we just hear excuses, "I can't learn it"? Do we see many of us consistently having that hard conversation with someone about Christ, or working really hard so that we'll know what to say when the time comes up to have that hard conversation with someone? Do we see people willing to risk their lives so that others can hear about Christ? Do we see people choosing to love others even when they are blasted? To love instead of giving back what people maybe gave them? Do we see people in the church with compassion and kindness toward those that are different? When you look at what Jesus says, He says, if you want to come after Him, you must deny yourself. When He says, take up your cross and follow Him, He means you're laying down your life for Him. He would say that we're to do this daily. It wasn't a one-time thing. It's every day we wake up, we're to pick up our cross, and we're to follow Christ. Meaning we're every day dying to who we want to be so that we can be who Christ wants us to be. We say, my life doesn't matter to me anymore. See, it was nothing but joy for Paul to be in prison because he'd already laid down his life. He said, for me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. I wonder how many of us in here have said we want to follow Jesus, but really we meant, I just want Jesus to save me, and then I'll serve Him on my terms. I'm very thankful that many of you, so many of you in here, serve Jesus faithfully. It is a joy for me as a pastor to see the sacrifice that I see in this church. But for some of you, you're only playing Christian. It's just something you do on the side. It's not the case for Epaphroditus. It was not the case for Timothy. It was a joy for Epaphroditus to risk his life to serve Paul in the church because he knew he was serving Jesus. And that's all that was all that mattered. It was a joy for Timothy to put others above himself and to think of their interests, because for Timothy, his only interest was Christ. That was all he cared about. You see, these men had given up their lives for the sake of the gospel, only to find they had actually saved it. They gave up the lesser life that seemed to promise good things, but would always end in death. They choose the life that began with death, but ended with life. This is what these men do. What would it look like in our church today if all of us who profess to be Christians actually lay down our lives for the sake of the gospel? Like right now, we all said, I hear you calling, I will go. I don't care about anything else anymore except what you want me to do. And what would that look like? It would look different. It would look different. We would not have a spare seat in the house. There would be no room for the people. We said, my life is not mine anymore, it is yours. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to think about? What do you want me to crave? What do you want me to desire? I'll do that. And in reality, this is the gospel call. It always has been that you are to save your life. To save your life, you must lose your life. To follow Jesus will cost you friends and invites to parties, young people. Like, you just won't get to have all the friends that you thought you were going to have. You just have to let them go do their thing on their own. You'll even strain your families. But the only true way to save your life is to give it over to Christ. Let's make this clear. If you think that you can simply circle a choice on a card and just get baptized, but then there's no giving of your life daily to Jesus, then it's likely there was no salvation. If you think you can be a secret Christian, okay? I remember in high school, this friend of mine, her name is Ashley Toller. She was about 14 or 15 years old. She lived her life for Christ. After leaving church one day with her sister and her sister's boyfriend in small town Mississippi on a back road, they were going too fast, top to heel. Someone was down there. They hit the person. She was sitting in the middle, no seatbelt. She comes up, hits her head like this, snaps her neck, kills her. It was terrible. I remember coming into school the next day. People are weeping. They're just so, they can't understand. And I remember this one girl in my class. I'm not going to mention her name. She actually lives not very far from this church. And she came to me crying. And she said this. She said, "Avery, I'm a Christian. But if I were to die like Ashley did, no one would know it. They wouldn't know it." She's so upset because she realized at that moment her life wasn't mattering for Christ. Ashley's did, but hers wasn't. Jesus said, "Whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Right after he says this, he says, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" So we see what's at stake. You can either hold on to your life and in the end lose your soul, or you can let go of your life and in the end gain eternal life. So in the end, I just ask, is your reputation worth it? Is money worth it? Is relaxation worth it? To live for yourself? The men of God in the Bible, they followed Jesus wherever He went. They didn't just give Him an hour every week. They gave Him every hour. Because they knew, like Mr. Teddy led us this morning, "I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you." And so they lived every hour of their life for Christ. May it be true of us. Amen? If you've never given your life to Christ, today is the day. If you're teetering, not really, you're kind of being secret Christian, okay? You need to get that right between you and God today. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your love and mercy. And God, in Your kindness, You just set forth examples of men to us, Lord, that we can see and that we can model our lives after. Men just like us, that have families just like we do, and dreams and jobs and things that they like and things that they don't like. But they saw You, O Lord, and they heard the call and they answered it. May we be a church filled with people that do this very thing. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.